would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of the Proverbs, the 18th chapter. It being early in the year, I want to suggest today, after I ask you a question, where are you headed this year? I want to suggest that if you don't like where you're headed, you can change it. Generally, around the first of the year, most of us at least, take pause to reflect on where we are, where we've been, where we're going. Some of us are quite pleased with the direction that we're heading. Others are not so pleased. I want to read one verse from the book of the Proverbs today and then amplify it from some other scriptures to indicate to you so very clearly, I believe, that your attitude will determine your circumstances. I want to say that again. Your attitude will determine your circumstances. And the natural outcome of what we're going to say today is this, that if you are not happy with your circumstances, then adjust your attitude. If you're not happy with your circumstances, change your attitude. For a change in attitude will ultimately and invariably change your circumstances. And I say that to you on the strength of numerous scriptures, one of which is Proverbs 18, verse number 12. Reading just the one verse, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. How about reading that with me? Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Now, I think you could say that destruction was a circumstance of life, a negative circumstance, albeit a circumstance. I think we could say that honor was a circumstance as well of life, in this case, a beneficial circumstance, a preferred circumstance. And here is an instruction concerning what causes these various types of circumstances in our life. Prior to our experiencing destruction, there is an attitude present. And prior to our experiencing honor, there is an attitude present. And so we can see that a person's attitude precedes his circumstances. And the type of attitude of heart that we maintain is very, very instrumental in producing the circumstances of our life. Before destruction, it says a man's attitude is haughty, proud, lifted up, thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. But rather, before honor, a man's attitude is humility, meekness, preferring the other person as better than himself, and so on. I believe we can take this scripture and adapt to it a principle. That is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so what? So is he. You've read that in the Proverbs, haven't you? As a man's attitude goes, so goes his circumstances. As a man thinks in his heart, he causes his life's circumstances to be. Are you listening? You are not, I am not, we are not creatures of chance, but we are creatures of choice. The choice is ours as to what kinds of circumstances we are going to find ourselves in. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, I'm going to give you an example of how this works in both situations. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to use our Lord and Savior Jesus as an example of one whose attitude was humility and in whose life was produced not destruction, but honor. Now, that's not to say he didn't suffer some, but the ultimate end of his life was honor, glory, joy, peace, and all of those things which the human condition lacks in its natural state, or in its perverted state, I should say. How many times have you heard the happy hour referred to as the attitude adjustment hour? Perhaps you haven't heard that very often. You don't run in those circles anymore. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But it was commonly referred to, and perhaps still is, as the attitude adjustment hour. What's that mean? That means my circumstances are so distressful, I've got to stop off in a bar and get my attitude changed. I've got to go have a few belts so that I can stand life. You see? Whereas if a man would just read his Bible and change his heart, he could change his circumstance. I tell you, since I got saved, I have not wanted a drink nor needed one. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's an exhortation to have a heart like his. Think like he did. As a man thinketh in his heart, is the idea. Who, being in the form of God, in other words, being God in the flesh, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, on the basis of Proverbs 18 and 12, if a man has a humble heart, and if a man's attitude is humility, what should that precede? Honor. Let's see how it works. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Oh, it does work, doesn't it? And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. How many tongues? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you believe that Jesus has obtained honor? Are the circumstances of his existence honor? Humility of heart produced circumstantial honor. Do you see that? A man who did not push his way in, a man who allowed God to exalt him, a man that served the Lord and kept his heart soft and his heart meek, and his heart humble, not weak, but meek. And God highly exalted or honored him so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, even the ones that don't want to, that he's, I call that honor. He did not take that to himself. But rather, he humbled himself and God provided the honor. Do you see that? All right, let's take the other side of the coin now. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's see a man who had a haughty heart. Acts 12. Acts 12. Beginning to read in the 20th verse about a man named Herod. Now, when I say the name Herod, you feel warm and loving all over? Or does the hair stand up on the back of your neck? Verse 20 of Acts 12. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, what was his heart's attitude? Haughty. And what became the circumstances of his life? Destruction. All right, now, listen to this just a moment. I want you to follow something with me for a moment. If I can make this clear, I want to try. While Jesus was exercising humility, he did not have very much honor, did he? But his attitude today did not necessarily produce the honor today. It produced the honor the next day. Do you follow that? His attitude today produced tomorrow's circumstances. Let's look at Herod. Now, Herod was a man who had great honor in the presence of his haughtiness. And it would seem that his prideful spirit and his haughty attitude was beneficial. But he was planting the seeds for tomorrow's harvest by the attitude of his heart. And his haughty heart and his proud heart ultimately produced for him not honor, but rather destruction. Today's attitude will produce tomorrow's circumstances. Don't you forget that. How you think in your heart today is going to determine the quality of life that you are enjoying tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. This is why so many people get hooked. Their circumstances today are pretty good. Their attitude of their heart is stinking. And they make a connection on the present day reality, their attitude and their circumstances, and they say, "Boy, I'm doing great." Not to know that tomorrow the worms await. Are you listening to me? God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Have you ever seen a seed put in the ground that you got the harvest the same day you planted it? Doesn't work that way, does it? Let's go over to Galatians now, chapter 6. Let's get the spiritual principle here. Parents, you've got to watch this in your children's lives. You cannot permit your children to have a lousy attitude. If you do, your kids are headed for destruction and you're just watching it. And then when the destruction comes, you wring your hands and you say, "Oh my goodness." But you watched it for 5 years or 10 years. It shouldn't surprise you. Galatians chapter 6, beginning to read in the 7th verse. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's no fool. He's no dummy. You can't play games with him. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit," in other words, to the Spirit man, "shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so, verse 9, Paul said, "Let us not be weary in our well-doing." Jesus could have decided after a year and a half of his humble walk that this was not gaining him any honor, and so he'd go Herod's route. Jesus knew the spiritual principle. Not to be weary in your well-doing, knowing this, for in due season, that is according to the period of time of sowing and reaping, and we don't know what those things all are in the Spirit. He didn't tell us what time we'd get honor. He didn't tell us what time we'd get destruction. But he did tell us they would come. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, in one of the Psalms, it just comes to me now as I'm speaking, and I don't know what Psalm this is. I'm not sure what it, I believe it's in the 70s somewhere. In one of the Psalms, the psalmist is bemoaning the fact that he sees the wicked getting richer and richer. He knows they hate God, but yet they seem to prosper. They don't get sick. They seem to have everything under control. And he says, I watch them, and I don't understand that. There's something unfair about that. Why is that? Then he said, then one day I walked into the house of God. And he saw, my reading between the lines, they weren't there. And he realized that all of that which he saw that appeared to be so good in their life, they were reaping destruction. Whereas while he did not have in this life the same things they did, he reaped honor. He reaped the presence of the Lord. And the inference is, never again did he wonder about the prosperity of the wicked. Because when he saw it in the long haul, when he saw it on the long term, when he saw it with the perspective of God, he realized that their prosperity was very short-lived, that the attitude of their heart was going to provide their eternal harvest. On the other hand, we see some of God's righteous in the Scripture. We see Abraham, who believed God for a son. How long did he have to believe God? 25 years. I've been believing God for 3 weeks and he hadn't come through yet. You hadn't been believing him at all if you're concerned about a 3 week wait. He that believeth, Hebrews 4:3, hath entered into rest. If it takes 3 more weeks or 30 more years, it won't make any difference to you. I'm sure you don't like it. I don't like it much either. I mean, I want to pray it now and see it, then, you know, when I open my eyes. But it doesn't work that way always. The Bible says, in due season. What is the due season for a son? I don't know. Only God knows. What is the due season for what you're waiting for? I don't know, but I do know that God's promise is true. And that if you'll hold fast the promise, you will have it. Your attitude today determines your circumstances tomorrow. A pure heart, clean before the Lord, is going to cause you to gain honor. You may not get it in this life, but God will see to it that you have honor. But a proud and a haughty attitude will cause destruction, worms. That's a very vivid description, isn't it, of Herod's destruction. And it works that way in all lives. God's no respecter of persons. He will honor your good attitude. He won't honor the bad one. Let's pray.